From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We have got to act swiftly and boldly. That's what President-elect Obama said yesterday about the economy. He's still promising to generate 2.5 million new jobs once he's in office. Plus, auto sales are in deep decline, and the Big Three have been making the case for a federal bailout. We've got Dr. Julianne Malveaux in the House now. She's an economist and the president of Bennett College. Hi, Dr. Malveaux.
Hi, Farai. How are you?
I am doing well, but on Friday, we found out that more than half a million people lost their jobs in November. That's the worst one-month decline in nearly 34 years. What's that doing to the unemployment rate?
Well, the unemployment rate went up to 6.7%, but many of us believe that that's an understatement. People have dropped out of the labor market, able-bodied people who could work, but they're just tired of looking. The long-term unemployed, all the numbers have trended up. The black unemployment rate is 11.2%, the same as last month. But again, we think that people are dropping out of the labor market. They've looked and looked. They can't find anything. It costs money to look for work. So we really, this was, as you said, the largest increase in 34 years. It means that we've lost nearly 2 million jobs for Rye in the past year. That's a lot of jobs. And so even as we applaud President-elect Obama's plan, we also caution that 2.5 million jobs just deals with the people who are officially out of work right now. It doesn't deal with the magnitude of the problem. There was a great editorial in today's New York Times that talked about youth unemployment and how so many young people, especially young people of color, are being sidelined. So there's an awful lot of work to do, and I think the president-elect certainly is moving in the right direction.
There are many polls that show that overall Americans are confident that the president is going to do a good job in addressing these issues. But what you bring up about kind of getting back to zero, even if he succeeds at creating the number of jobs that he says he will, it'll just get us back to zero. But what other transformations do you expect in the labor market? For example, are people going to have to take jobs that pay less or jobs that are less skilled? What kind of sense do you have of that?
Well, we're seeing that already. I mean, of all the people who are hurting, Walmart isn't, and we know what the pay is there. Their stock is up. They're doing very well, so well that people are stomping each other trying to get to their goods. That was just an aside. But in any case, we know that all these things that are service-oriented and lower-paying are doing okay in this economy.
For McDonald's example, went up.
Repossessions for Rye, towing companies, collection services. But all these things pay someone to be a telemarketer, call someone on the phone, did you pay your bill, did you pay your bill? They're making $7 an hour. It's misery passed down.
If you were the incoming president, what would you have as your top priority in terms of creating jobs?
I would move beyond the Obama plan to repair infrastructure, which, by the way, is an excellent plan, $64 billion to go into the states. Some states having as many as hundreds of repair projects that they've already listed. But I would look beyond that to look at the services, because the infrastructure programs are going to heavily favor men, and we want to make sure that women, a very important part of the labor market, 45% of workers, also have opportunities. We can't have a recovery that basically is biased towards one group or another, and building trades really are biased towards white men. So I'd look at some of the services. I look at opening libraries. I look at schools. I'd look at doing something, for example, like building a model school in every major city, because we know that we have an education problem. And we know that these things trickle down in terms of the economy. So beyond the 2.5 million jobs that he's looked at, I'd look at something that was far more massive, something along the lines of the Works Progress Administration under the Roosevelt days. We really could talk about 5 million jobs. We could talk about a youth conservation corps. You know, there's so much energy around the green stuff. We could talk about some of that. But we really have to be, we can't micro manage this thing. It can't be just little micro changes. It really has to be a change in business as usual.
Yep. Okay, the automakers discussion is still ongoing, whether or not the federal government will intervene, and in what way and how much money. What do we know about how things are progressing, and what's your opinion on what might be appropriate for the federal government to do?
Well, Ford Motor Company has now said they don't need immediate assistance. They may need some later. They were always asking for a loan. GM and Chrysler are in much worse shape. I think there needs to be a change of leadership in both of those companies. I mean, these companies just did not get in trouble because the economy turned down. They've made very bad choices about some of the offerings that they've had. And you know, these guys are being paid big money to make big mistakes, and then it comes to the taxpayers to bail them out. There are a number of things we could do. We could take some stock in these companies that so that the government would be repaid. We could do some oversight, and I know that that's been discussed, what kind of oversight that we might do. And I think that it would be entirely appropriate if the automakers walk away with any billions of dollars. Now they're down to $17 billion. But if they walk away with something that some form of a citizen economic oversight committee work with them to make sure that they're restructuring. We can't throw good money after bad, and it's clear that this important core industry, and it is an important core industry, have some oversight as they move on. Every sector of our economy will feel, or is feeling really, what's happening with the auto slowdown. The advertising industry, where lots of people, you know, are employed there to advertise these cars. I mean, they're all of the things, the windows, bumpers, people who are manufacturing those things off-site, they've been hurt. The communities, obviously, and the people. So we've got to, we don't want these industries to fail, but we cannot allow them a blank check to do what they've been doing.
All right, let's talk about housing. And in sometimes this litany of news becomes overwhelming, but it's later in the show, I'll point out that we have a very interesting success story of someone who went on to follow his own dreams in business. But we just have to deal with the reality. And there's not a lot of good news. One out of every 10 households is either in foreclosure or currently falling behind in mortgage payments. And that's going to keep going up if there are still more job losses. The Mortgage Bankers Association says 2.2 million homes could be foreclosed or in foreclosure by the end of the year. Now, the incoming president has talked about doing a moratorium. Where is that going?
Well, a moratorium on foreclosures just buys us a little bit of time. What's more important is some kind of comprehensive plan that allows people to stay in their homes and to do so affordably, especially when one in five of the people who have predatory loans are in default. So right away, there is an opportunity to go in and allow these people to renegotiate their mortgages for market rates. Now, I can already hear the bankers saying the reason they have predatory loans is because they were high risk. Well, guess what? GM's high risk, AIG's high risk, and we're prepared to do things for them. So we ought to be prepared to do some of the same things for people. And I think if people were able to renegotiate their loans, I mean, the federal funds rate is 1.5% right now. So loans at 6% or 7% or even 5% would be a lot more reasonable than some of the people who have loans at 14% or these balloons. The administration is going to have to push that they want to make sure that ordinary working people are really part of the recovery. And by freezing foreclosures is a first step, but renegotiation in bankruptcy court is a much more important step.
Overall, I'm hearing about people starting to refinance their homes because mortgage rates are so low as 4.5%. Do you think that it is either a good time to buy for first-time homeowners who have the credit and the money, or a good time to refinance, or both?
It is an excellent time if you have the money. If you've got the money and if you've got the credit rating, there are lots of bargains out there. So for people who are buying now, you know, the bargains are there. I hate to say it, but the fact that people are foreclosing provides opportunities for other people who are holding cash. So someone who's holding cash who wants to get into the market, it's a very good time. However, people should know that lenders are being far more vigilant than they've ever been. You could have bought a home, you know, the rate you might have gotten with a credit score of 680, now you probably have to have 750. So lenders are not eager to borrow money, to lend money right now just because of the economic challenges. And indeed, Farai, people who are holding credit cards may find that their lenders will raise their rates, will reduce their line of credit, do any number of other things because they're constantly reevaluating the issue of risk.
Speaking of risk, it's a high risk not to get a higher education and to go into the job market. But now there's a study by the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education that found that more and more people won't be able to afford to go to college. As a college president yourself, president of Bennett College, do you feel this report is accurate, and what could it do to our future?
Well, the report is accurate. I mean, especially not at HBCUs where we're still a bargain. Bennett College for Women is still $21,000, although we will go up this year because everything else goes up. But when you're looking at schools that are $35,000, $40,000, those are private research institutions, or even our public colleges, we see rates going up. Part of it is a function of what's going on in the economy. People, you know, gas prices go up. When things go up, our costs go up, and we've got to raise tuition. I think that government should be doing more to help young people have access to college. One of the Obama plans is to increase the Pell Grant, and I think that that will provide more accessibility for poorer students. But I also agree that we've got to get a handle on these college costs. The report said that, you know, cost of college tuition would run from increase from about 11% of family income to 24%. Well, that's ridiculous, especially if you have more than one child. So we've got to come together to figure out how to make college much more affordable, but also how to make it more accessible. And when you look at the amount of money that students are taking out in loans and compare it to my generation, it's really flipped. People have more loans than grants. We need more grants for young people, especially those who excel or those who have potential. And we've seen the federal government cut back on it or raise the aid very slowly, but there really do need to be more opportunities.
Very quickly, are your students worried about their future, for lack of a better term?
Oh, absolutely. I'm meeting with a senior class this week, and they're, you know, seniors who are graduating are petrified. First of all, you've got this horrible job market, so they're all asking, where am I going to go? Secondly, many of them have borrowed. How are they going to pay their loans back? This is not a great environment for young people necessarily to enter. On the other hand, what I tell them is that, you know, if you've prepared well, follow your dream. You know, get that resume out there, make it perfect. Come see me, come see folks so that they can hook you up. You know, I send people to you and to other people and say, you know, here's a great student, but you've got to be prepared. So, you know, you said you've got the story coming about following your dream. No matter what the economic times, you know, you've got to hang in there. What I don't want our students to do is to get so discouraged that they drop out.
Okay. Dr. Malveaux, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Julianne Malveaux is an author, economist, and News and Notes contributor. She's also the president of Bennett College.